It was in the wings, ready to go. Much of this was block language that they had tried to get through after the bombing of the Murrah office building.
The Patriot Act is merely CIMIC for American shores, civilian-military cooperation.
That's right. And in terms of, the Powerly doesn't just do what one would look at as a particular event. They shape things all around it. So at the same time, this is going on with Iraq and so forth. What you have, and I mentioned earlier about President Bush saying the UN could help to write the Iraqi Constitution and so forth. What you have is last month, Laura Bush shows up over in Europe and helps raise the flag, the American flag, at UNESCO because yeah. we're rejoining that. And what you find is that our Secretary of Education, on October 3rd, delivers a speech over in Paris. And in there, he says, we are now preparing to have our children be, quote, citizens of the world, end quote, and as Constance, her legal background knows, citizen, not inhabitant resident, but citizenship implies a legal obligation under this world, world law, world court, whatever. And then he goes on to say how UNESCO's Education for All initiative fits with No Child Left Behind of President Bush. He goes down to the end of his speech saying education is the way we discover our soul. Most people would think religion might have something to that. No. And then he concludes the speech by saying that we will have joint initiatives. So it's a total package. Education fits into this as well as the military and the economics.
And that's really very hard to show people that this really is an interconnected grid. Well, I know, Constance, I think you have to go.
I do. I have an appointment.
First of all, your disc, once again, it's a computer disc now. This is not
yes,
a CD.
Yes, just email me at cumbie@yahoo.com. And just request it with name, address, and a zip code.
Author and attorney Constance Cumbie, the first person to blow the whistle on the New Age movement and its roots going back through Alice A. Bailey. This was back in 1980 when Constance came out with her first book, Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. There'll be another book out shortly. The New Age has not gone away. It wasn't just a passing philosophical fad. It is now matured and is now permeating through all of the organs of our political life and even in the things that are going on today in Iraq. It's all of an interconnected grid. So, Constance, I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, John.
Now, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, you're still with us, and I am all revved up. Now, you had something you wanted to go into that you felt we didn't address.
Specifically about Iraq. Why would it be that the brain trust that we have deliberately so screwed this up? They go in there saying, well, we'll be considered liberators when there's every reason to believe that at least in the Sunni triangle we would not be. They deliberately ignored, I think, about 3-4 days ago, the London Observer had an article where Sir Christopher Meyer, former ambassador to the U.S., had tried to warn Cheney and the rest of them, look, you know, it's after the major conflict that your problem's going to be this, the policing action. Why did the brain trust just ignore that sort of thing? Why did we set our, I mean, you and I know.
Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because, well, we have with us this evening a very, very special friend, and I've never personally met James Perloff, but I feel he's a friend. I remember his first book, Shadows of Power. We did programs on that, thought it was a great program, and then he did a book, A Tornado in the Junkyard. He wrote an article on Pearl Harbor that we interviewed him on a number of times. It was published in the New American Magazine, probably the finest summary of the betrayal that took place on December 7th, 1941. Very well done. And recently, James has come up with something entirely different than anything he's done before. I think you'll be fascinated by the program we're going to have tonight. James Perloff, are you there?
I sure am.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about, of all things, a music CD called Freedom Shall Return. Where should we start? Do you want me to play a little of the music?
Stan, actually, I thought we were doing this on my book, The Case Against Darwin, but I'm perfectly prepared to shift gears and talk about the music CD.
Well, I've got it sitting right here in my right here in my CD player. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this CD and what we're going to be talking about?
Okay, fantastic. Well, Stan, you know, back in the 60s, early 70s, I was an atheist hippie type, you know. And in those days, what we really looked to as leftists and as rebels leading our culture was not so much Hollywood in those days, wasn't so much books, it was the music. I mean, why did we start wearing long hairs? Because the Beatles had long hairs, the Rolling Stones. And in those days, music addressed issues, and issues that I would take exception to now. I mean, it was protesting the military, it was songs about the new morals, songs about drugs, things like that. It impacted the culture. And one thing I've noticed about conservatives is that, well, we have our church worship music, but we don't really have music that addresses issues. So I decided that what I'd like to do is do an experiment and see if we could impact our culture in reverse by coming up with some good pop music that would address the issues we care about, issues like homeschooling, a tribute the Vietnam vets, a song about the New World Order, a satire on Congress, a song about media bias, the issues we care about. Why not sing about them? That's what's behind the album, and I wrote the songs, but I should hesitate to also say I'm not the singer. I tell you right away, I don't have much of a singing voice. We have seven different lead vocalists on this, including some of the finest Christian vocalists from New England.
All right, fine. Well, now, where should we start? Well, which one of the songs do you want to introduce?
Why don't we do this? You know, we have different rhythms on this. Why don't we do Network News, which is a song which addresses the bias in the media. You know, it's well understood by conservatives that we don't get a fair shake in the news media, and this song is about that. You know, Bernard Goldberg came out with a popular book recently called Bias, and it's more and more recognized that we don't have the voice in the media that we should, and that's what this is about. It's about anti-conservative, anti-Christian bias in the major media.
All right. Well, unfortunately, my player will only go up to five, so I'll have to go through Goodbye to Darwin before we get to Network News. Let's go to one of the earlier ones. Do you have another one earlier than that we could do?
Sure. Let's do Castlegate Love. It's the opening song on the album, and it's a song, you know, in the late 60s, we had a lot of the new morality songs coming out, feminist-type songs. This is a song by a girl who feels out of place in today's culture. It's an old-fashioned girl who's looking really for an equally yoked man. You know, that's a problem that Christian women talk about a lot, that they can't find a partner who's equally yoked, who shares their values. And this is a song by a girl who feels that way.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Well, it's very, very pretty, but I don't hear anybody singing there.
That's not my song, Stan. I think you got the wrong CD in the player there.
Well, let's try another one here then. Let's just see what we can do with this one. All right, let's go ahead and...
There we go. That's Cascade Love.
All right.
All right, we're on it now.
Believe in love at first sight, but the most important thing is it right. My mother taught me all she read in the Word. She said, my girl, don't you follow the herd. I don't care if your man is rich or broke, but in God be equally yours. I guess I was made for another time, when a young girl's heart was a fallen time. I've made him stag and some to valor soar, and knights and kings bow before the
James, that is certainly aimed at a much younger set. In other words, that's not something that somebody in my age group would appreciate, but we have an awful lot of young people out there, I'm sure, who enjoy that sort of a beat and sort of a song. And you know, I was really amazed. I was asked recently to do a program up in San Francisco, a nationally wide aired television program. And so they knew I was going to talk on my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which is very similar to your book, The Shadows of Power, and so I wasn't going to turn down an opportunity to have this message go out across America. Well, when I got there, I found out it was a six-minute program. I drove all the way from Santa Cruz, canceled my evening program for a six-minute television program, but as long as I was there, well, I might as well go ahead with it. And I will have to admit that the program is known as Unscrewed. And it's aimed at the young computer nerd, the people, the hundreds of thousands of young people who really understand computers, and their whole life centers around this. And the presentation of the program, the music, the way it was done, I just couldn't believe it. I thought, what am I doing here? But that's all right. We did our six-minute program. We've had, I don't know how many thousand, well over 1,000 emails on that program alone. Young people out there, they're looking, and they were impressed by what they heard. Now, these are people whose music I don't understand. A lot of them have views that I would probably disagree with, but they're searching. They're searching for answers and understanding what's really going on in the world today. And so I would think that a song such as that would touch them. It's just a matter of how do you get them to listen to them. That's the problem.
Right. Well, music has had such a dynamic impact on our culture, Stan, and that's why I wanted to put this together. I felt it's been proven by experience that music does affect culture, that it does affect kids' attitudes. Why not put together some pop music that'll sing about the right kind of virtues?
Oh, no question at all. This is exactly what we need to do. And the interesting thing is how do you get the young people to listen to it? I mean, that can you get this on to regular radio stations?
Well, that's the challenge. Music is an extremely competitive arena. And so that is a challenge. We've done a number of radio shows with it so far, and it's being marketed daily by WorldNet Daily on its Page 2 News. And we're just trying to get it out there. Like, it's kind of an experiment. We might call it conservative rock and roll, but this is an area where I think we need to be working because music has such appeal to young people.
Well, you know, if you go back and you read Plato, Plato talked about how music could change a civilization. And it's been known for thousands of years, the impact that music has on our psyche. The William Tell Overture, which most of us remember, associated with the Lone Ranger. But actually, that was a revolutionary song. That was actually written over the specific purpose of stimulating and creating the French Revolution. And it said that when that was first played in Paris, why the people streamed onto the streets, you know, and shouting for a revolution, overthrowing of the monarchy. And music really has the capacity to do that. What you need to do, of course, is find out how we can get the young people listening to this sort of thing. Well, we have a fair number of young listeners, and so I'm going to give the invitation, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have any thoughts on what we're talking about, give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You've got the next song is Where Did All the Holidays Go? What's that all about?
Well, you know, I often hear Christians talk about the fact that Christmas has been commercialized. People don't know what Easter stands for. As a matter of fact, even when I was growing up, Stan, you know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't know, you know, that Easter was about the resurrection of Christ. I thought it was just about the Easter Bunny. And this song is a song of sort of lamenting the fact that our society has lost its understanding of how our holidays originated.
All right, let's see if we can speed up to and get to where have all the holidays gone. So we'll be with that one in just a moment here. And now, where did you get your performers for this?
I do a lot of speaking on creation evolution, and we have a thing in Boston called Congress, which is a...
Well, let's just go ahead. We've got time to do this before our first break.
Fantastic.
Did all the holidays go? They had beginnings that few people know. Compared to the past, they look very strange. As the years go by, their meanings change. When Christmas comes, who gets the applause? A retail merchant named Santa Claus. By malls and parties, we are enticed. But the meaning of the day is the birth of Christ. Did all the holidays go? They had beginnings that few people know. Compared to the past, they look very strange. As the years go by, their meanings change. When Thanksgiving comes in
Welcome. This is Dr. Stan. We're going to take a break here, and when we get back, we'll be talking with James Perloff a little bit more about his thought of trying to use the music to regain our culture. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is James Perloff, who's written a number of books about the same things that we talk about all the time. But now he's put together a music video called Freedom Shall Return. It's nicely packaged, and this idea, where did the holidays go? I think that most of us have forgotten it. One time we had Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, and what they did is they took one away, then they took the other one away, then we had President's Day, and we had Martin Luther King Day, as if Martin Luther King was of the same category as the founding fathers of America and the people that we've always had so much respect for. And we have, of course, Christmas. We have Hanukkah. We have Hanukkah. We have all these things, but there's no Christ in Christmas anymore. Why? What we have is Santa Claus and the reindeer and Rudolph. But by destroying the Christian foundation of America, you destroy the very foundation upon which our freedoms rest. Because certainly from the very opening of our Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson wrote about nature's God and nature's law, and that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, until the very last sentence of the Constitution, which talked about in this day of our Lord. There was no question we were a Christian nation. And yet, there's been an organized effort to destroy that reality. Don't you feel that, James?
Oh, absolutely. There is no question that we were founded as a Christian nation. In fact, on that note, let me just quote Patrick Henry, who everybody knows, said, "Give me liberty, give me death." Here's something else he said, quote, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists but by Christians, not on religions but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here." Unquote, Patrick Henry.
Well, that is not understood today. And when Judge Roy Moore stood up for the Ten Commandments, which is basically the foundation upon which all American law was written, he, of course, is accused of being a lawbreaker. No, it is the judicial activists who have taken control of our courts rather than trying to, amend the Constitution. They don't agree with it. Try to amend it. No, they don't have to. We have a group of men who have become our new rulers. They call themselves judges. But they swear to uphold the Constitution, and then they plot on how they will undermine it. And they've done a beautiful job. And in fact, I'm going to be giving a talk this weekend on why the Supreme Court took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out from our reality. And until people understand, not that it happened, but why we're never going to be able to change it. And the great tragedy is that none of our religious leaders will tell us. They say, oh, there's no conspiracy. It just sort of happened. Everything just happened. Nobody's responsible for it. Well, I hope many of our listeners will want to get a copy of the talk we give this Saturday, going into why the Supreme Court did what it did, because there's a reason. And a very, very specific reason, and I believe that was to destroy the religious foundation of our nation. Well, the next song you have on here is Echoes of Vietnam. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
I could, Stan. I'll if that's the next song you've got in there, I'll just explain one thing that it's a long...
Oh, no, Homeschool Kids. I'm sorry, is next one.
Okay, yeah. Homeschool Kids. Many Christians today are pulling their kids out of public school and homeschooling them. I send my son to a Christian school. But a lot of people are homeschooling because they just realize that not only are we getting a bad academic performance out of our public schools, but we're getting indoctrinated in political correctness.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to just bring our listeners back from the Great Northwest. Well, our special guest this evening is James Perloff, and he's pointing out that the children that go to public government schools are being indoctrinated in all sorts of ideas to destroy their love of country so that they will believe the United Nations is the way to go, indoctrinated in environmentalism, and we're all environmentalists, but certainly not the sort that wants to give ever more power to the government to take away individual rights and property rights and plague our people and create such a situation that there's no more fishing, no more lumbering, no house building, eventually doing away with the automobile and dams because, of course, they block the course of the fishies. Really, this is an attack on our industrialized society. And this is what's being taught in our schools today, and tragically so many of our young people embrace that. So James has written a song on homeschool kids. You want to pick up that thought?
Sure. You know, many Christians today are pulling their kids out of the public schools for those very reasons, Stan. Only do is there a poor academic performance being produced by our public schools, in spite of being the best financed schools in the world. But also, our kids are, as you were pointing out, being indoctrinated in political correctness. This song, Homeschool Kids, is about why people homeschool their kids. And I should mention that everybody involved with the performance are homeschooling their kids, or are our kids who are being homeschooled. It's both the singer, both the lead adult singers, Amy and Jamie Bernard, homeschool their kids at home. In fact, Amy, who's singing lead on this, just gave birth to their sixth child, and they homeschooled them all.
All right, let's go ahead and just see if we can bring in Homeschool Kids.
We'll educate our kids at home until the day they're fully grown. When someone asks our reasons why, we're always glad to clarify. We want them sharing our own faith and in a place we know they're safe, instead of violence and drugs. They'll get high on parenthood.
Just hold on homeschooling, because we're going to have to take a break here. And when we get back, we'll be talking with James Perloff about his effort to put together a CD, which he hopes will touch the hearts of many of our young people and begin to help them to understand some of the things that we're losing, or we're losing because we're turning our back on our traditions. And whenever you turn your back on your traditions, that nation will not long exist. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is James Perloff. We're talking about a CD he's put together to try to get people to begin thinking about what's going on. And certainly, homeschooling is such an important issue. It's really one of the great new movements in America. There are about 2 million children now who are being homeschooled across America, and those who would enslave us are furious with this because they can't control their minds now. They've infiltrated the homeschool movement. They've infiltrated the private school movement, the Christian school movement. Why? Because they want to control the reality of these children, and the whole idea is to indoctrinate them in globalism so that they will become good global citizens in the new world fascist system. And what's so difficult for the average individual to understand is that the new legislation put together by the Republicans under George Bush, the No Child Left Behind program, is intent upon converting children from American children to world citizens. In fact, at the recent UNESCO movement, a representative of the administration got up before the UN and said, "We are training our children to become global citizens." Well, that's not what homeschoolers want, is it at all, James?
No, most homeschoolers are patriotic people, and they recognize that we need to have a checks and balances not only in our own government but in the world. If you form a new world order with a global government, which the globalists advocate, who's going to run it? You can be sure it's not going to be run by Christian conservatives or religious conservatives. It'll be run by socialist, anti-secularist, humanist type of people.
And not only that, but we may not even be around. In fact, on Gorbachev, Marie Strong's website, Earth Charter website, we actually have the original documentation on this before it was taken off the website. Although they left the website up, they left the statement up, they deleted the one part where they said the real enemy, of course, was the fundamentalist Islamist Christians and the Jews, and they were going to have to be eliminated. There really are people who feel that way, specifically Gorbachev, the butcher of Afghanistan, who was lauded and applauded by American politicians and by American leaders. In fact, George Shultz was on the Gorbachev Foundation initially. His place was taken by James Baker III, who is today the lawyer for the President of the United States. And people like Mabiki and Ted Turner and others, all, of course, part and parcel of this internationalist movement of moving towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and they're using education to promote this. As Lenin said, give me the minds of the children for one generation, and I'll control the nation. And what was Lenin's goal? The New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this evening is James Perloff, and we're talking about his CD called Freedom Shall Return. James, how can people get a hold of you and get hold of a copy of this if they're interested in having one for a Christmas present?
Yes, this is music for the politically incorrect. The album, as you said, is called Freedom Shall Return. It's got 12 songs on it, 12 politically incorrect songs that deal with issues of interest to religious conservatives. And you can order Freedom Shall Return at 800-496-3266. I'll repeat that again in a moment. You can also order it online at Amazon.com, and also visit my website, which is refugebooks.com. That's refugebooks.com, where we have my books and the music CD there. And again, that 800 number, which operates during normal business hours, is 800-496-3266.
That's 800-496-3266, right?
Correct, yep.
All right, and so the next, of course, the song on the list here is Echoes of Vietnam. And, of course, Vietnam was a watershed event for America. It was never fought to defeat communism because we were financing the North Vietnamese all during the war by giving aid to Russia that was providing the MiGs and the radar-controlled artillery, anti-aircraft batteries that were shooting down our children. After all, how could a little nation the size of the state of Mississippi fight the greatest nation in the world for 10 years and that great nation would lose the war? That didn't happen unintentionally. We never went there to win. I personally interviewed the American ambassador to Vietnam at the time, William H. Sullivan, back in 1980 when he was a resident scholar at Columbia University And he told me, he said, I never understood why we never won the war. I could have won the war in 2 months if they'd just given me a couple of battalions of men and we'd attack North Vietnam, but we were never allowed to attack the enemy, nor were our planes even allowed to bomb the major targets. It was all a fraud, and 58,000 American boys died. Do you want to talk about Vietnam, or should we play the song?
Well, I'll just say that our Vietnam vets were certainly abused, unlike the veterans of any other war. And I thought for a long time that Vietnam vets deserved a song that paid tribute to them. There was a song called The Green Berets, very sadly sang back in 65, but as the war grew unpopular, all the music started turning against the war, and the vets certainly suffered not only during the war itself, but in its aftermath. It's called Echoes of Vietnam. I'll mention one thing about the song. We have some genuine Vietnamese. There's sort of a battle scene we create at the end of the song. There's some Vietnamese expatriates who are on here pretending to be Viet Cong, and we end the song in a novel way. But it's a very long song, Stan. It's 8 minutes long. You might just want to fade out in the middle. Very long song.
We'll do that. But the men who went over there went over believing that they were fighting for America. They were patriotic, and they did a great job. There were some things that the CIA was doing, which everybody should know about, Operation Phoenix, but the average American has never heard of it. That's where we killed 40 to 60,000 civilians because they wouldn't go along with our occupation of their country. And most of them were not Viet Cong, but they certainly did not sympathize with our being there. So we just had them killed. We paid professional assassins to kill them. And the fact most people have never heard of Operation Phoenix is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. But that doesn't reflect America. That reflects the wicked people like McNamara, Robert Strange McNamara, who was the Secretary of Defense, presided over so much of what happened at that time. And Robert McNamara is deeply involved with the occult. He's on the board of directors of the World Future Society, and until recently their logo was a circle made up of three sixes. Robert McNamara, who, according to West Magazine, visits not infrequently the occult satanic center run by Marie Strong, LaBaca and LaBaca Grande in Colorado, a 200,000-acre little farm they have where the witch doctors and the shamans and the witches and the yogis and the people from all the satanic religions gather together there, a sort of a spiritual center. And here, at least according to West Magazine, we have Henry Kissinger and Robert McNamara going. But if you understand that what happened in Vietnam was simply a human sacrifice, a Luciferian sacrifice to the prince of this world, then it all makes sense. 58,000 American boys died, 1 million South Vietnamese died, 2 million North Vietnamese died. And I'm sure the prince of this world was so happy to see the destruction of God's handiwork. Let's go ahead and play Vietnam.
My Uncle Jake lay dying in his VA bed. His wife Zoe was crying. I took her hand and said, before Jake goes from that curse of cancer, I've always had a question that I'd like to answer. Ever since Vietnam, he's walked with that crutch. I've asked him about it, but he'd never say much. Now just then Jake started tossing in his sleep, and he said something made us start to weep. He said, come on, come and get it, NVA. Just cross our lines and you'll make our day. Come on, come and get it, Viet Cong. If you wanna know if there's a God, it won't take long. Zoe said, this man ain't no stranger to pain. Spent 3 years sleeping in the mud and rain. Marched many long miles in the jungle heat. That's what caused those crippled feet. Now he was blessed to come on home, but many a night his mind would roam. Flashbacks, nightmares, I could swear that half his soul was still over there. He'd say, come on, come and get it, NVA. Just cross our lines and you'll make our day. Come on, come and get it, Viet Cong. If you wanna know if there's a God, it won't take long. His call to duty, he always obeyed, but he felt somehow we'd been betrayed. He asked one question you couldn't ignore. If we never lost a battle, how'd we lose that war? Rules of engagement made by politicians, news reporters conducting inquisitions, pacifists saying war isn't right. Well, no one hates it more than the grunts that gotta fight. He'd say, come on, come and get it, NVA. Just cross our lines and you'll make our day. Come on, come and get it, Viet Cong. If you wanna know if there's a God, it won't take long. One thing he couldn't get out of his mind, that some of our boys got left behind. The thought of a friend in a bamboo cage would fill his eyes with tears of rage. If you ask a young man to cut his life short, then better get undivided support. So many of his friends he badly missed, that fell from the guns of the charging communist. He'd say, come on, come and get it.
Well, you know, James, when you think of Vietnam and you think of those courageous young American boys who went over there, believing that they were fighting for freedom without realizing we were financing the communists at the same time. And those who haven't read the book, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, or seen my interview with Professor Sutton, who wrote that book, and of course he includes there the information that was presented to the Republican National Convention in 1972, and when Professor Sutton got back to Hoover Institute, where he was a scholar, after giving the testimony and explaining how we were financing the North Vietnam, why they'd taken his name off his door at the Hoover Institute, and very soon, of course, they made his life so miserable he was forced to leave, because the last thing that they wanted for the American people to understand is that the war was as phony as the $3 bill. But, you know, you ask men to go over and to kill or be killed, you train them to kill, and then you expect they're going to be able to come back and simply forget what they've done. I've talked to people who were out on the night patrols, I mean, inching through the darkness and coming across an enemy and killing him with their bare hands or with a knife or with a wire. We teach men to kill, and then we bring them home, and then we wonder why many of them have serious problems, emotional problems. Life is never the same. And then, of course, the government lied about dioxin and the fact that it led to a serious blood diseases, and many of the children of the veterans had deformities. They lied about dioxin, just like they lied about the Gulf War. We sent our boys to the Gulf to fight. 700,000 went over. Over 220,000 acknowledged by the government to have permanent illness, a serious illness and disability because of serving in the Gulf War, the Gulf War illness, and there are probably another 100,000 or more that the government will not give any disability to. And they admit that 10,000 of those young people have died. They will admit that there's a relationship between Lou Gehrig's disease and serving in the Gulf, but they're still not telling the truth about that. And now we involve our boys in another war. And where is the outcry from the American people? Well, all it is the long hairs and the communists and the radicals out demonstrating. But where are the good people? In fact, anybody who demonstrates against the current war somehow is equated with Barbara Streisand and the radical left. And how dare anybody not support our troops and say we never should have gone into this war. After all, we had to get Osama bin Laden. That's why we attacked Iraq. Everybody knows that's where the terrorists were centered. Or was it weapons of mass destruction that we went there for? Or was it democracy? Or why did we really go into Iraq? I mean, Dick Cheney told us that we could not wait another day, that those weapons of mass destruction threatened every American. And, you know, people actually believed him, and they went along with that. And then when they didn't find weapons of mass destruction, they had to come up with democracy. It was about democracy because Saddam Hussein was such a wicked guy, and he'd killed so many people, and we've got these mass graves. But most of those, of course, are the victims who died immediately after the first Gulf War, after George Herbert Walker Bush told them to rise up and overthrow Saddam Hussein, and we'd come and protect him. And then George Herbert Walker Bush let Saddam take his helicopter gunships and go down and mow down tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Sunnis and Kurds. You know, there's something wrong with this whole story. And where's the outcry from the American people, James? This is what gets me. How can we get the American people to realize that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose?
Right. Well, it's just a matter of, I shouldn't say just, it's a matter of getting the truth out to people, and that's, of course, what your show is all about, Stan.
Well, anyway, this is really a very, very touching sort of song, and you know, of course, it's very, very haunting and melody, and certainly this philosophy that this woman describes, you know, this idea that, you know, come and get it, you know, if you want to see there's a God, why, come across our lines. We killed so many people there. You go into the Battle of Khun Saum, I mean, we lost a couple of hundred men, they lost tens of thousands of men in that one battle, and the Battle of Wei. It was a slaughter. I mean, certainly we lost men, but they lost 10 times as many men as we did, even though the media here in the United States said why it was a great loss for us. It really wasn't. The media lied and lied and lied, and of course eventually turned the people against the war. But in some ways, maybe that was a blessing, because we never intended to win the war. Maybe it was a good idea we got out and without any more loss of life. Because we had always intended to betray the people of Vietnam. That was the plan back in 68 when Richard Nixon came in. And I will forgive him. I can forgive him for Watergate, but I can never forgive him for prolonging that war for 4 years so he'd get reelected in 72. And then lying to the American people about all the boys we abandoned, saying they'd all come home. And he knew it wasn't true. But then you could always tell when Richard Nixon was lying, because his lips were moving. And the tragedy is that so many good people think, well, you know, he wasn't so bad. Yes, he was. He was basically an evil individual. But then so many of the people in positions of power have been evil individuals. That's the reason they get to be in positions of power. And Richard Nixon was willing to sacrifice everything to open up our relationships with China, a long-range plan to begin to build up the best enemy money could buy for the next world war. And that one, of course, I fear may well mark the demise of what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, have you had any feedback at all from your song?
From my son?
No, from your song.
Oh, Well, the songs, we're getting a good response to it. Of course, music is a very personal thing, and you know, there's some people who think that my music is too rock and rolly and too pop oriented, but some people think it's too conservative. You know, because even though conservatives agree on issues, they don't always agree on the kind of music they like. But I've tried to have a broad a variety of rhythms, both you know, fast and slow, and sad and happy on this album, to appeal to as many people as possible.
Well, that Echoes of Vietnam is a song that people will remember, because I think it touches the very heart of what happened. And, of course, the horrible transformation that comes with Americans who have to kill other people, other human beings. That's not something that comes naturally to good people. but we can train people to become killers, and that's what we do in wartime. And the average individual doesn't understand the purpose of war is to kill people and destroy things. That's what it's all about. It's the ability to be willing to put aside your morals and slaughter the other side. And this is just not the sort of thing. There is a time, and in defense of your own country, you're justified in fighting, but not when you're going in and overthrowing a government that our own government had kept in power and backed and financed for so many years. Maybe we ought to ask why we backed Iraq all during the 1980s. Why we backed Iraq and the wicked Saddam Hussein after he had gassed the Kurds and after he had gassed the Iranians. And where did he get the gas? Well, that was why they had to blow up the bunkers over there, because so much of it was made in America. And if you doubt that, Joyce Riley has the videos that we shot at Camisea of the stocks that they had to blow up. They had to blow up the all the bunkers over there because they contained all the chemical and biological weapons. And they came in little packages or big packages marked Made in USA. And that's what they couldn't let the American people know. And you can get those videos from Joyce Riley. Go to her website, GulfWarVets.com, and get more information. We can get the information for you. Well, should we play one more song here? We've got Goodbye to Darwin is the next one. Or should we go to Network News?
I think people might like your Network News. That's a fun song, if we can get that one on.
All right, let's just see if we can, let's see if we can get to that. I'll have to get to Goodbye to Darwin here, and we'll get to Network News next. Okay, and let's go there. You know, this is not my forte, but let's just see if we can get the thing to play. Here, go ahead.
Sex education bill passes through the little opposition voice except for isolated right-wing extremists.
Turned on the news at 6 o'clock. What I was told was sure a shock. The angry man, he did insist the pro-life folks are terrorists. Come on. They're right-wing conspiracies. Don't kill the babies and save the trees. God knows Cuba is a paradise. Well, I know that's just a paradise. Christ did not exist, according to some scientists. Creationists have flipped their wigs.
Thank you.
What?
Try and whirl that Daily Man.
In other words, I love that line. I'm going to turn off my TV set and get my news off the Internet. And that really isn't a very a bad idea. In fact, if more people would turn off their TV sets and get their news off the Internet or off of alternative radio, maybe they could catch a glimpse of what's really going on in the world today. But so much of what we read in the controlled media and the controlled magazines and see on the controlled TV is designed to control our reality. And until the people can break loose from that and realize that we're being manipulated, they're not going to be free mentally, and they're not going to be able to help us preserve America. Well, we're just about out of time. James, you know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and with all the bad things in the world, we still live in the greatest country with the greatest heritage of all time. And the only question is, are we going to be able to preserve that heritage for generations yet unborn? So, do you have any thoughts at all for our listeners?
Yes, that preservation of those liberties that our past presidents issued proclamations declaring days of Thanksgiving, and we need to be thankful for what we have, but we also need to make sure that we have it in the future by continuing to fight to keep our freedoms. Let me just mention, if I may, Stan, again, the 800 number on the CD.
You go right ahead.
It's 800-496-3266. The album is called Freedom Shall Return. It's 12 politically incorrect songs. Might not be a bad Christmas gift for someone you know who's politically incorrect themselves. And you can also order it online at Amazon.com, or again, that's 800-496-3266. The album is called Freedom Shall Return.
Well, let's hope and pray that freedom does return, that we can preserve the freedom that we inherited from generations past and pass it on to generations unborn. And I know you've done more than your share. Your book, Shadows of Power, one of the great books on America's invisible government, your book on Darwin, certainly exposes how effective they've been in confusing our young people. And, of course, the reason they push Darwinism and evolution is to destroy their faith in God. That's the purpose of education today. The primary purpose is to destroy faith in God, because if there is no God, then anything goes. If there's no God, there's no absolutes, there's no right, no wrong, and it's all right to kill or do whatever you want to. You then become the only arbiter of what is politically and morally correct. And what a terrible responsibility to give to young people today, immature, who really don't understand anything, telling them that they will determine what's right, and then we wonder why so many of them get into problems or have rings in their nose and in their ears and in their lips and their tongue. Well, James, I want to thank you so very much for being with us, and I want to thank you so very much for everything you've done for America, because I know you've dedicated your life, as I have, to this epic struggle.
Yes, Stan, and I want to thank you for creating this opportunity. I think this is the 14th show we've actually done together, although this is the first one we've done on music.
All right, fine. Well, look, thank you so much, and next time we get you on, we'd love to get you on and talk about that wonderful, wonderful story that you wrote on the tornado in a junkyard. I think that is a classic.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
Good night. God bless you.
Good night. God bless you.
Okay, fine. Well, that was our good friend James Perloff. A little different program than we've had, but I wanted to hear the disc, and I'd like, maybe you'd like to let me know what you think about it. I certainly like the rhythm on those. The idea that turn off the TV set and get your news on the Internet. But this is the time I just want to remind you, we have a lot to be thankful for. There are a lot of terrible things going on, but we have a God, a God that can turn things around if we're worthy. So pray for revival. And till Friday, we won't be with you tomorrow evening, although there will be a Thanksgiving program until Friday when we'll be back. May the Lord be with you. to Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us our very special friend, Dave Wegner, and we're going to be just talking on what's going on in the world today. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and Dave is...
a long day for you, huh?
Well, I've got really looking forward to a four-day weekend here with Thanksgiving, and although we will have to work on Friday, we'll have Saturday and Sunday. So we've got so much to be thankful for, really. If you look and see how things are for our boys over there in Iraq, how things are really in most of the world today, at least we have a country that has a solid foundation that we can recapture. There's no other country in the world like America that has the laws of the land, even though they're not accepted as such, but the laws of the land are based upon the concept that freedom comes from God. And if we could recapture that, if we could retrain the people to understand what has not been taught in our schools for generations, and that is what it says in the Declaration of Independence, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and governments are instituted among men to preserve those rights. What rights? The God-given rights. We're the only country in the entire world that acknowledged freedom came from God, and for 150 years, everybody knew America was a Christian nation. It's amazing what control of the media can do to change the perspective of the people, to the point where today, if you were to say America is a Christian nation, why, you'd be ridiculed and laughed at and equated with those who believe in black helicopters. It's amazing how they've been able to control an entire population of 275 million people simply by having their agents buy up all of the major media. But then, of course, you can do that when you can create money out of nothing with a Federal Reserve system, when you can create money and that money can be then used to buy something of inherent value until finally people realize that it's all just another scam.
That's first of all, before we get into tonight's subjects and stuff and talk about these things, how's your conference coming?
Well, we've got about 100 people. We're really encouraged. Probably the worst weekend of the entire year. I really didn't plan well enough ahead. If I had, I would have just said, we're not going to do one this year. But every other Saturday was taken by a wedding or something. There was no other... and I just wanted to use this meeting hall. Maybe we should have tried to go some other place. But despite everything, why, we've got to be about 100 people there, and it's going to be a great program. I wish you could be up with us.
I've always said, Dr. Stan, if there's one person out of that 100 might make a major difference for this country, for the future of this country, for our children, our grandchildren. So I know it'll be everybody that attends will be blessed. They will be educated, they will be informed on what's happening, and I think that's something we definitely need to be, is informed on the things that are happening, or else we wouldn't even know how to pray for these things. We wouldn't know what's coming, and I believe there are some surprises coming, except for people like that attend your conferences, because it says men's hearts are going to fail them towards these end times, and that doesn't have to do with any bad health, I don't believe. I believe the things are going to be so frightening that are going to just scare, literally, I know when God talked to Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar, when he wrote many, many charcoal on the wall with his finger, it said he had to change his shorts, and that's exactly what's going to happen to a lot of people. It's going to scare them to pieces when the things that are being prepared for this sleeping giant here of the United States, and it's good that at least 100 people, and I hope more will even come to the door, Dr. Stan. I hope they can make it that day And I hope there'd even be more than that come that would hear the messages from these different speakers you have there that day.
Well, it's going to be an exciting time anyway. We're really looking forward to it. We've got a great lineup. You talk about the things that lie ahead. The average individual doesn't want to hear that our economy is in shambles, that our wealth is being shipped offshore, that our jobs are leaving, never to return. They look at the stock market and they say, things must be good. Look at the stock market staying up there and even going up a little bit. And look at over 1.5 billion people investing in the Dow Jones stocks, or at least in the regular stock market, and then another 1.5 billion in as NASDAQ. And it's amazing, you know, what was it Barnum said? There's one born every minute. You've got burnt once, and now they're jumping right back into the fire.
Right. Well, that sort of fits into what I was going to lead off with tonight. I'm getting ready to do a presentation, Dr. Stan, that we won't get into tonight, but it's called False Teachers, Unsound Doctrines, and Doctrines of Demons. And most of my later presentations the last year or two have had to do with deception, and Jesus spoke of much deception. But the one that concerns me probably more than anything else is a personal deception. When you deceive yourself. God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And when it has to do with spiritual matters, things of misinterpreting or reinterpreting or interpreting the scriptures like people have done, as God said, they will wrestle to their own destruction in these latter days. And that's exactly what's taking place. But I think if I were doing a presentation today, I'm not going to do this one. I'd probably call it the five big lies that are being told to the American people. And I put down the number one lie is that we are a democracy, and we might discuss each of these a little bit. Number two is that we're fighting terrorism. I mean, the fact that it's all about terrorists and terrorism, it has nothing to do with that. But they're using that as a cover to basically take our freedoms and liberties away. Number three is that China and Russia are our America's new friends and our new allies. You've got to be kidding yourself if you believe that a leopard loses its spots, or if these communist, socialist, democratic-type people that are in these China and Russia have changed their colors at all. And number four, I put down a jobless recovery. Is there really a jobless recovery? And number five is Bush, a born-again Christian. So many things are being told to us. We're being lied to. On all five of these fronts, as it will be, there will be a global community that comes together with a military might, led by a political group, and there will also be a religious organization, a one world religion, and then they'll put it all together with the economy, with this new electronic currency that they're getting ready to impose upon the American people, with which they cannot buy or sell unless they have a certain mark on their body. So,
but of course, they are not going to be able to get that through until the whole economy collapses, and then people will need something to exchange, and that will be, of course, an electronic exchange. And all the machines are there. You can you'll buy your gasoline with your credit card. You'll buy your groceries with your credit card. You'll pay your taxes with your credit card. And if you don't pay your taxes, they'll take your home. And it's all going to be done electronically, and Big Brother is going to be watching everything, for you'll neither buy nor sell.
You
know by
right.
The number of your name, or bear the mark of the beast, and his number is 666.
And people will ask for it, Dr. Stan. They aren't just going to be, it isn't going to be imposed upon them. They're going to say, can I have that that chip embedded upon me? Or it could even be a DNA. I saw today in the paper they're making out of DNA. They're making a new computer chip. They're putting on the strands of the DNA, they're putting gold plating or something. I don't understand the
technology.
They're
actually going to be able to use DNA, because DNA can reproduce itself. So what they're going to do is create a computer chip that can duplicate itself. Now, that sounds pretty far out. I thought it was when I read about it, too. But they're getting down to the molecular level with the new computer chips.
We're
already beginning, of course, to parallel God himself.
Well, let's go through these five just briefly, if we have time here. Democracy. I think that every time I see it, it just makes me cringe. And we've seen it lately. We see right on the front page of the L.A. Times here, it says, Bush says U.S. must spread democracy. It says here in another article, President Bush called for a new American commitment to spreading democracy around the globe. Here it says, Mid-East advocates welcome Bush's vision of democracy. Now, I've got articles where Russia's a democracy and China's a democracy and all these communist countries are democracies, and that really makes sense. They're really being honest, because if the listeners tonight and part of Radio Liberty, if they knew about a 1928 November 30th U.S. War Department document, they would understand that a democracy is a communist form of government. In fact, this particular official document put together by the Department of War had the precise definition of a democracy, of a republic, and it was a guide for U.S. soldiers, U.S. citizens, for the chief of staff of the U.S. Army, and this is what they used as a guide, and it would be authentic in any court of proper jurisdiction today, because that's what our government said, and I don't think they've changed the definitions, but it's sort of interesting in a democracy. It said, right here in our own U.S. War Department, Department of Defense is what it would be called today, attitude towards property is communistic, negating property rights. Real simple. Our forefathers never intended to have a democracy, as our leaders today, George Bush and the whole administration, continue to call for this democracy. They know what they're doing, Dr. Stan. Well, they know they're moving towards a socialistic, communistic, fascistic type government.
Well, they know that democracies always deteriorate into despotism. In fact, that's exactly what Plato said, and anybody who has Bartlett's quotations can look that up. And Plato said democracies always deteriorate into despotism. And then, of course, Alexander Tyler, who was a professor 250 years ago, said, a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until a majority of the voters discover they can vote themselves largest from the public treasury, and from that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy and spending, always followed by a dictatorship. And, of course, it was Madison who said democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been in short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths. And you'll find that in the 10th of the Federalist Papers, Madison's statement that democracies are air spectacles of turbulence and contention. And yet, of course, they never teach that in school. They never teach what the founding fathers of this country said about democracy. And if you read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Federalist Papers, you'll never see any mention of the word democracy other than to say we don't want a democracy in America because it always leads to despotism. But this is exactly what Karl Marx advocated in the Communist Manifesto. He talks about the importance of democracy. Why? Because Russia is a democracy. The truth of the matter is, under democracy, all power rests with the government. Oh, you elect people, but they can be bought and sold, but you no longer have restrictions placed on what government can do. And whenever you remove restrictions on what government can do, why, you end up with despotism.
Well, Dr. Stan, what you just said, I believe everything you said. I don't understand why the American people don't, because they appear not to believe what you just said is true. They appear to believe that Bush says U.S. must spread democracy, because he still has a huge popularity rating. They still think that he's doing the best for them, even though he's talking about spreading democracy right before every one of them. And yet you quoted some of the, about communism and everything else. Why wouldn't somebody take action?
Because
why wouldn't somebody call you up and say, what can I do, Dr. Stan?
Because they don't understand, Dave. I'll never forget, it was 1962, and I heard somebody on television say, America is not a democracy. America is a republic. And a republic is a government of laws. A democracy is a government of men. And of course, that wonderful analogy, a democracy is two wolves negotiating with a sheep on what they're going to have for dinner. The counterpart of republic is a society where there's a laws against eating sheep, and every sheep is armed. That's the difference between a republic and a democracy.
They might not understand, Dr. Stan, but I know our leaders do.
Oh,
I know that our leaders know exactly what a democracy is, and you said that word, I forget whose quote it was, but it's going to lead to a dictatorship. That's their plan.
There's going to be a dictator. Plato said that in the Republic, and it's in Bartlett's quotation, and we have actually, I believe it was about the year 2000, my November, December newsletters talked about republics and democracies, and any of our listeners who would like a copy of that newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge if you can't get it off the internet, but it will explain to you what the difference is. Democracies always end up with a loss of all freedom. Republics limit the power of government, and the republic is a government of laws. A democracy is a government of men, and men are corruptible. And, of course, they will always be susceptible to being bought and sold by the people who give them the most.
Okay, now the next big lie that I see being told to the American people, and they seem to be biting it hook, line, and sinker right here in the It's the Orange County Register, November 25th, 2003. It says here, George Bush, he says, the war in Iraq is making America safer from terrorists who hate what we stand for. Now, I don't know of any terrorist incident in America that we had that wasn't that our government didn't know about. I don't know that the 93 New York bombing of the towers there, according to the L.A. Times and the New York Times, it appeared that they had very good knowledge. FBI at least had a knowledge of what was going to take place. In fact, they were directing this man named Salam. Oklahoma, we could go into this the whole hour, Dr. Stan, but there's a lot of unanswered questions about Oklahoma. The first news reports, and I don't have time to play them tonight, but they say the bomb that went off in the building, and yet we were told it was one lone bomber outside the building in his truck. And then we go to 2001, and I keep showing this article because it's so simple, and yet it says it all. 2001, New York City. Here it says, hijackers in San Diego weren't hiding. They lived with an FBI informant. That's in the LA Times, July 25th. They lived with an FBI informant, and we couldn't find them, Dr. Stan. That's a lie. And so that's why I put this as one of the biggest lies, because, as you know, and as we've told people on many programs and on many of the tapes and articles and everything else we've done, we've led them right to why those terrorist acts took place, what the war in Iraq's all about. We wouldn't have gone over to Iraq or to Afghanistan had there not been some kind of incident like Pearl Harbor. And so now we're losing our boys over there, and everybody's, you know, saying the poor guys. But this was all planned, Dr. Stan. There's a plan, in fact, in place to wipe out millions and millions of people on this planet Earth by these evil leaders.
Well, I think that people only have to ask on September 11th, why did Building 6 come down? Why did Building 7 come down?
Yeah.
Forget about the Twin Towers. They're coming down. Why did Building 6 come down? What caused the explosions in Building 6? What about the Building 7? The fire didn't start until late in the afternoon. It was never a very intense fire. So why did that building come down? The fire was up on the upper floors, and yet the building came down from the very base. If you've seen the pictures, which Dave has in his video, that's the day of deceit, isn't it?
The day that changed America forever.
And we carry these videos. Do you really want to see them? If you've ever seen one of those buildings in Las Vegas, one of the big hotels come down, you remember how what they do is they blow out the lower floor, and then the weight of the building just collapses. And that's what happened with Building 7. You'll actually see pictures that thing collapsed from the bottom. It didn't collapse from the top. So why did Building 6 and Building 7 come down? And you only need to ask that one question, and then why is it that the president is doing everything they can to block the investigation, refusing to allow the American people to know what he knew? Are we concealing the evidence of, and this I'm talking now is before the 9/11 attack. He was briefed on August 6th that the terrorists are going to hijack American airplanes. What else was he told on that day and subsequent days? Well, we know that shortly after that, John Ashcroft stopped flying on commercial airlines. We know that certain people were warned about the attack. We know that David Shippers was told by high government officials who were afraid for their jobs that he had to get them to people in the top of our government and let them know there was going to be an attack on Lower Manhattan in early in September. We know that my friend, Dr. Garth Nicholson, was contacted by people in government and said on the 11th of September they are going to attack the Pentagon, and he actually put that information out. We know Willie Brown was notified beforehand. We know that Salman Rushdie was notified beforehand. We know that the word on the streets in New York was that the Twin Towers are going to come down on the 11th of September. And we're told our government had no idea, but 2 hours after the attack, why the FBI was at the restaurants where the attackers lived, at the neighborhoods where they lived, at the flight schools where they attended. Within 2 hours of the attack, according to Kristen Breitweiser's testimony before the Senate Select Committee on the 18th of September, and incidentally, that's my October newsletter of last year, I just reduplicated her testimony because it was totally censored by the controlled media. Kristen Breitweiser's testimony, 18th of September, 2002. You can pull it down off the internet or pull down my October 2002 newsletter and ask yourself, how could the FBI, that was so incompetent it had no idea what was going to happen, be at the restaurants where the hijackers ate within 2 hours, be at the neighborhoods where they lived, at the schools where they trained, how could that possibly have happened if they were so incompetent?
Dr. Stan, I'd go on to say, ask him to ask the question. Listeners, please ask questions. How did it affect you, and how is it affecting you, and how is it going to affect you? Because it has, every single one of those. Now, maybe you haven't had a loved one over in Iraq, you've lost. But you will learn about, you know, these tapes and all the information that we've put together. PNAC, for example, a plan for a new American century, they talked about that war in 1997. It was put together in 1997, but closer to home, they combined through the Schutzstaffel, and I call it that because that's the same name for the Homeland Security. That's a German name, a security of the homelands, what Schutzstaffel means. SS is what it was named after. And it's the Homeland Security here. That's the system that Ridge controls, 22 different agencies, and this is the first time in American history that we have the military and civilian enforcement systems working together. And if you don't see danger in that, you never will. No, because I guarantee you can't have your military or your politicians controlling your local civilian officials, your police forces. But they're doing it. They're militarizing them. They've been doing it, and they're going to continue to do it. They're continuing to expand on the definition of what a terrorist is. They're using the Patriot Act number one, Dr. Stan, for common criminals, for just common criminals. They're using those same laws that were passed, and they're going to soon use it to anybody that isn't politically correct, anybody that doesn't agree with their form of, their form of government.
I saw a wonderful cartoon the other day, and it was this fellow wearing a Santa Claus suit, you know, red, he's got a beard, and he's standing on a street corner, and he's singing, he knows what you are thinking, he knows when you're awake, he knows whether you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. And a little boy tugs on his mother's arm and says, Mom, is he from the Office of Homeland Security?
I think I saw that same article, Dr. Stan. And I use cartoons every once in a while, but I can tell you, Dr. Stan, this isn't funny. There's going to be a day they're going to be knocking on these listeners' doors. I believe that with all my heart, Dr. Stan.
No,
I wouldn't
sure.
be doing that if I didn't believe it.
I know. Well,
and I believe these laws are being passed, and people better wake up. They better call Radio Liberty and say, what can I do? What can I do before it's too late? Because there's a time coming that it's going to be too late, and it's very soon, I believe. It might not be this year. It might not be 2000. It could be 2004 or 2005 or 6, but it's coming, and I guarantee you that this war in Iraq is much bigger than what you see, even as John Chrétien, the Prime Minister of Canada, said, this war will never be over. This war, when we went into Afghanistan, he said it will never be over. He said that on 9/11, 2001. Oh, by the way, that's 9/11 is the date that George Bush Sr. announced to Congress back on 9/11, 1990, 11 years prior to 2001, that we were going to have a new world order. It's the first time he really went on public television and started talking about it. From there, many times he used that phrase after that. And to think, lie number three, Dr. Stan, is that China and Russia are America's new friends and allies. We've got Gorbachev running around the country being invited into things like the Crystal Cathedral and being, just wined and dined and given hundreds of thousands of dollars when he continues to perpetrate his agenda of a global community, of a, not only of a global community, but of a politically correct global community. It's going to be a socialistic community. He's been working with Putin. He's been closing our U.S. military bases, and these things are all on tapes. Everything I'm telling you is in an article or documented that you can see that I'm not making things up.
Well, Dave, let's tell them how they can get from you that article out of the San Jose Mercury that says that Gorbachev was on this committee that was determining which American army bases would be closed. Now, that article would just blow your mind. How can people get that from you? It's in the fact book number one, isn't it?
They can just call Hope for America, and I've got it on a number of tapes too. Those books, I just have a few of them left, Dr. Stan, and I'm running that. I have to have them reprinted, and I really, right now, I don't think I'll do that, but I have it on all the tapes, and I've got other things like China, where we gave the Panama Canal. But let me give you the number, and then you can get that. But you can see how China and Russia, who are practicing military exercises against the United States, nuclear attacks against the United States, they've been doing that, and they're continuing to do it. And yet, everybody sleeps so good at night, thinking believing a lie is what they're doing. They're living in a virtual reality. But let me give you the numbers: 1-800-959-1991. That's 1-800-959-1991.
And I think for our listeners, you've heard me say this before, but I think it needs to be repeated. Recently, the president asked for an appropriation, I think, of $87.5 billion, of which $20 billion was to rebuild Iraq. Now, that was to be given to Iraq. It could have been lent to them and paid for from future oil revenues, but the president insisted that we didn't want Iraq to have any more debt. They had so much debt because they had to pay back the money they owed to France and Russia. So we want to give them money so they can give money to Russia and pay back the debts to Russia. Why is the American president so intent upon having the American taxpayer give money to Iraq so Iraq can give money to Russia? Is that just like giving money to Russia ourselves? I think it is. And why are we trying to build up Russia? Because they're in full military production for war. And if you're looking for a logical explanation of this, you're not going to find it unless you understand that there is, behind everything going on, dark and sinister spiritual forces, because Russia is preparing for a nuclear attack on America. And if you read Ezekiel 39, I believe it's 6, you'll find out that they describe this horrible attack on this distant islands is what they're referring to. And if you read that description, that's a nuclear war. And but this doesn't make any sense. Why would we be building up people who might attack us militarily? America is unilaterally disarming. We are destroying our MX missiles with which we could retaliate to a nuclear attack. George Bush is building 20 interceptor missiles, which may or may not work, to intercept some 7,500 Russian nuclear missiles, nuclear warheads that many of course, we financed. So they are building new SS mobile intercontinental ballistic missiles. We have absolutely nothing of that sort. They have a massive civilian defense system to defend their public. We have nothing. Well, we do have underground bunkers for Dick Cheney. They built one in his house. They built others for Dick Cheney and for the elite in Washington, D.C., but nothing to protect the American people. Now, if there's no danger, why are they building the bunkers for the elite? If there is a danger, why not build them for all the American people? Well, maybe this will bring God's judgment on the American people.
Dr. Stan, I'd say too, if there is a danger, why are we closing another 100 military bases here beginning in 2005? And by the way, we mentioned earlier, that's the Gorbachev Foundation has determined which of those 425 remaining bases, the 100 are going to be closed. His foundation determines which one. And here I got, that's in an article here, just, of course, everybody can see that. They've probably seen it in the paper that we're closing more bases. That was October 29th. Now here's in the LA Times, and this should concern everybody. Russia opens new bases. So here we've got Russia opening new bases.
Well, hang on to that thought. We're going to have to take a quick break here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there in the audience listening, and you agree you're going to hear things here that you're not going to hear elsewhere, if you're concerned about what's going on in America, what's going on in the world, if you know something's wrong and you can't quite put your finger on it, you know there's got to be something more than we're being told by the controlled media. Why, hopefully many of you will want to support the Radio Liberty family of supporters, which gives us the opportunity 5 hours every day to reach out across America to about 60 different outlets every week. And these are stations that pull down our programs. Most of them we have to pay for. Our weekend program goes to some 35 radio stations. We need, of course, to expand that massively, but we can't do it without your help. So if you believe there's a problem, we hope that some of you out there will be willing to commit yourself in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation based upon God and freedom coming from God, whether that sort of a nation can long endure. And our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a free newsletter, our last newsletter deals with anti-Semitism. What's really behind this resurgence of anti-Semitism throughout the world, but specifically here in the United States? And we see article after article after article about the threat of anti-Semitism here in the United States. Now, what they're doing by talking about it, I think they're just going to stimulate this. But I'm really very concerned that as this wave of anti-Semitism begins to crest, there's also going to be a wave of antagonism towards Christians who believe they're absolute right and wrong, and that there is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that would make you a fundamentalist, and of course, if you are a fundamentalist, you are intolerant. And the one thing that will not be tolerated today is intolerance. You can tolerate anything except for intolerance. And there is a plan, and we actually have this written out by Gorbachev and Strong, that people who hold fundamentalist beliefs, whether they be Muslims or Jews or Christians, will have to be eliminated. Those are their words, not mine. We'd be glad to send you the pages that they took down off their internet site. But, of course, fortunately, some of our supporters got them down and copied them before they were removed. Why? Because they don't want you to know what's lying ahead. And I feel we're entering very, very difficult times. And this is the time that we still have the ability to speak out and reach others. Will you join us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation will long survive? Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this evening is David Wagner. And if you have any question or comment on what we're talking about, you don't have to be bashful. Give us a call at 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, if you really believe America is a democracy, give us a call. If you believe that we're fighting terrorism, that that's the reason we're over in Iraq, because we want to capture Osama bin Laden, or is it Saddam Hussein, but we don't seem to be able to capture either one of them, not even, of course, with massive offers of rewards. Well, I will tell you, people have come to claim the reward to tell us where Osama bin Laden was, and people in the Defense Department really didn't want to know. But then we never really tried to catch Osama bin Laden. If you read Richard Miniter's book, Losing Bin Laden, on 12 separate occasions we had chances to arrest him or capture him or kill him. 12 separate times we refused to do that. And then, of course, when we went into Afghanistan, supposedly to capture Osama bin Laden. If you read the book Crude Politics, written by Paul Sperry, he tells about talking to the Green Berets who came back from Afghanistan furious because they were never allowed to try to get Osama bin Laden. But we can't let the American people know that. They've got to believe we went into Afghanistan to get the wicked Osama bin Laden. what we really wanted, of course, was to kill the Taliban, to destroy the Taliban government, so we would have a government headed by our man, Karzai, who used to work for UNICAL, because the attack on Afghanistan was all about the oil pipeline there. That, and of course, putting a government into power that would go along with our agenda, the New World Order, the New World Religion. So go ahead and pick up.
We were covering the lie that China and Russia are new friends and allies, or America's new friends and allies, because there's so much evidence that we sure have. Like I say, they've opened their new base. They put a new nuclear sub in the water in December 2001 called the Gephardt. That particular sub, by the way, can knock out our whole continent within 1 hour. That one sub by itself can knock out the continent of the United States. Now, I don't know. I heard they were third world. I heard they were having financial difficulties, and I know these nuclear subs cost a few hundreds of millions of dollars, and yet they're still able to put them in place, and they're able to open new bases as we close ours. I've got on some of my older tapes, I talk about the demilitarization of America and the blowing up of our missiles that you led off the program with, and how they've continued to not downsize under SALT 1 and SALT 2 or START 1 and START 2. They've signed the agreements, but they haven't gone forward on anything as we continue to downsize, we continue to close these bases. You'd think that we're a much faster, more effective force right now, but I've got articles here right in front of me, OC, the Orange County Register on October 17th, says U.S. may call on more reserves. Now, they're down to the reservists, and there's really, in some certain cities, there's no reserves left. And I heard today on the way into the office tonight, Dr. Stan, one of the congressmen was talking about that we're probably going to have to go ahead and reinstitute the draft, as these men probably aren't going to go over to that nation of Iraq for a second or third tour. That's probably true. I believe that's part of the plan. I believe soon we will institute the draft, and I believe the men and women, the girls, the young women and the young men in our country will be drafted, and it will be taken offshore. And it's just, to me, I really don't have words anymore, Dr. Stan, because I see these lies everywhere I turn. I've seen our president talk about his friendship with Putin. Now, did Putin all of a sudden become a Christian? Did he become a man that loves the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well,
absolutely not.
The president said he looked into Putin's eyes and he could tell he was an honest man.
Oh.
He looks into his eyes and he could tell he was an honest man. And Putin looks into our president's eyes and said, well, one of the most brilliant men I've ever met, and I can trust him. And so Putin trusts us and we trust him. And if anybody believes that, they've got to be incredibly naive.
Well, that's, again, like I say, it's lies. It's lies, lies, lies. China, like I say, the Panama Canal, that's an unbelievable strategic point around the globe. And then let me read this article. This is not too long ago. This is 1960. It's out of the LA Times. Of course, it was a 1997 article, but it talks about 1960. It says in 1960, China was slowly starving to death in the worst famine of the century, perhaps in all human history. More than any other event in modern times, the Great Chinese Famine, a totally unnecessary, entirely man-made Holocaust that claimed between 23 million and 30 million lives. Now, that was a totally unnecessary, entirely man-made Holocaust where these Chinese people killed 30 million of their own. Do you think they wouldn't? They'd have to think for any period of time before they destroyed Americans?
Well, I would suggest that our listeners get the book Hungry Ghosts. That's Hungry Ghosts. It's the story of that famine. According to the book, it was 40 million, but the difference between 30 million and 40 million, why, it's simply just a number. It's difficult for the American people to believe that this could have been done intentionally, but even more incredible, because I was just getting involved with the conservative movement at that time, even more incredibly, that the death of whether it was 30 or 40 million people could be totally suppressed from the American people. I was reading 5 newspapers a day at that time, and never one mention of the great hunger, the planned starvation of 30 to 40 million people in communist China at that time. How would you suppress something like that? You'd have to have ironclad control over what was printed in our newspapers. The book Hungry Ghosts, it's still available. I may be out of print now, but you could probably get it from a used bookstore. And people need to understand what happened at that time. Certainly, Stephen Mosier of the Population Control Center has talked to many people who were there at the time, who survived. You know, everybody in the family might have died, and they were the one person who survived. The Mosier's figure is 44.5 million, and those are the official Communist Party figures. But isn't it interesting that when the L.A. Times writes about it, they say, what, 25 to 30 million, and whereas the Communists themselves admit 44.5 million. But where was the L.A. Times at that time? They weren't reporting it. Maybe they reported in 97, but just as it was back in the 30s when they were starving to death 7 to 10 million Ukrainians, totally blacked out by all of the major media in America. And if we can't trust the major media, who can we trust? Rush Limbaugh?
That's our other new friend, the Russians. The Ukrainians is one of the republics of Russia, and yes, they've been practicing military exercises against the United States. China just recently... I don't have the article right in front of me. It was last week I read that they had again threatened Taiwan because they're making moves towards their own independence, and again they threatened a nuclear attack if necessary. It's not the first time. One time they threatened L.A. But to lie number four, five big lies I call this, lie number four, this thing called jobless recovery. I've never it's not even funny. It's sad that they would even have the courage to come out with some kind of lie like that, but they do. And today in the paper it said the economy is expanding at the fastest clip since 1984. This was today's paper, the L.A. Times. Now I think the economy is probably better than it's ever been since 1980. What a lie! What a lie, Dr. Stan. They've said in many times in the past that figures. Don't lie, but I tell you what, liars sure can figure, and that's who's running these statistics and these figures and everything else. I think if I was talking about the economy, I'd say it's a lie that the Federal Reserve is federal and that it has a reserve. It isn't federal. You can just go to your phone book and check that one out, and I know that probably most listeners have done that, but it starts right there. They've been controlling our economy. They've been controlling every aspect of our economy. They opened the World Trade Organization, where they gave China access to the world economies, and with that 1.3 or 4 billion people over there, and India's 800 million or 900 million or billion people that they have, there's your jobs of the future. And that's exactly what's happening. I'm looking at an article here. It says Mexico panicking over flood of Chinese goods. Mexico is starting to panic over the goods that are coming in from China. It says they can't compete in this article with China's low-cost labor. Of course they can't. They've got slave labor, and they've got very, very low... What's that have to say about our manufacturing jobs? Many of them have moved to Mexico already and on to China. And they blame it. Some of our leaders have blamed that on... what they call it, the devaluation of the whatever Chinese currency is
the
called.
One. The
yeah, they said that was the reason for it. He said China, and then they really got into it. It says China was not manipulating. They gave the truth here. Its currency to gain an unfair trade imbalance. It says here later on the article, says losses of American manufacturing jobs, much of it said to be caused by competition from China. I guess it is. When you're talking about $1 a day or $2 a day or maybe even as high as $3 a day labor compared with what we're used to getting here. And then here's the kicker, Dr. Stan. This is a recent article, October, Orange County Register, November 5th. It says here, companies announced plans to eliminate 171,000 positions compared with 76,000 in September. Now, I've been gathering these articles for the last 5 years, Dr. Stan. 100,000 laid off here, 50,000 laid off there, 20,000 laid off here. And what they're doing is they're coming back with service jobs. You work at McDonald's, or you work at a hotel where you carry baggage, they've created these low-paying jobs. And that's what the future of America is going to be, because when you go to a global community, you're going to have a level playing field. There isn't going to be one rich country, America, and the rest of the world is going to be poor and they in poverty. No, we're giving. We have given. We're in debt, trillions of dollars. We have given most of our money to these internationalists already. We're indebted to them anyway. We don't really have money. It's fiat money. It's made out of paper, and it's really worthless. It's based on confidence, and we've seen that change since the beginning of the year. We've seen the dollar, I heard today, 40%. It's gone down 40% since the first of the year from one of the economists that I was listening to. I thought it was 30 or 25, but whatever it is.
Well, it's somewhere, my understanding, 30%, but it is anticipated that it will drop another 30 to 40% because we have no intention of paying off the massive debts. Next year, we will have a federal deficit of about $750 billion. Now, it took us from 1789 till the year 1980 to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. All through all the wars and everything we did during that period of almost 200 years, it took us that long from 1789 until 1980 to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. George Bush is going to raise the debt $750 billion in 1 year. What do you do with that debt? Why you monetize it? How do you monetize it? You devalue the value of the money, and that means that the debt is less important. You devalue the dollar 50%, that debt goes down 50%. And that is what they're planning on doing. But that will, of course, make our goods much more competitive throughout the world. But what will it do to our senior citizens? What will it do to those living on pensions, on Social Security, those who have been foolish enough to buy government bonds or municipal bonds or have annuities or have CDs or bank accounts? And you'll find that we will be exactly the same as the Argentinian people, where half the population is now living in poverty. More people live in poverty in America today than ever before, but you haven't seen anything yet. This is planned. They know exactly what they're doing. But the one thing they do not want is for the American people to know that there is a plan to redistribute the wealth of this country to other nations to create world equality for the common people, but not for the elite. They're not redistributing the wealth of the elite, only people like you and me.
Well, Dr. Stan, the only way we're going to continue on is to provide jobs for the American people. And when the American people don't have jobs, they can't pay their house payments, they can't pay their car payments, they can't pay their laundry bills, they can't go out to the restaurants anymore. And when those restaurants close, then it just snowballs. We talked about the debt that there's foreigners hold so many U.S. securities of one form or another. And if that dollar continues to drop, like that, it's like you say, 30% and another 40%, those foreigners are smart enough to get out of U.S. securities and get it into something that's more stable, whether it be the European communities or whether it be gold or whatever it may be. They're not going to hold on to this fiat money, which is being printed at an unprecedented rate. But this whole jobless recovery, every time I read about it, again, I can't believe that the American people would buy that lie.
But
why they can't understand just the basics of economy.
But what they have done is they've been doing massive federal spending, and then they've cut our tax rates, and so people have more money to spend, at least those people who have jobs, and then massive spending for defense, and they've been pouring money into the dot-coms to try to get them going on sort of all sorts of boondoggles. And then the major two sources of our economy today are, number one, the housing industry, because they're keeping the interest rates down, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are creating $1 trillion or more of new money through this housing, to keep the housing bubble going every year. And then the massive defense spending, and then, of course, the cutting of the taxes. That's why things appear to be not too bad, why the people are spending. You go out and look at the supermarkets right now. Everybody's down there buying things. Of course, the products they're buying are made in China, but certainly people are out there buying things. So at least for those who have jobs, things aren't too bad. But, of course, the state here in California is beginning to lay people off. Municipalities are going to begin laying people off. And we're just beginning this snowballing that eventually is going to impact every person listening to the program tonight. Let's go to Ari calling from Redwood City. Hi, Ari. How are you doing?
Fine. How are are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm going to see you on Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. David, I want to thank you for the work that you do. Your videos are some of the best ones that I've seen, and they not only find them very informative, but they always stir me to rededicate myself spiritually, and so I really appreciate that.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I got a couple questions. Sometimes when I try to share my, feelings about where we're going as a country to Christian friends, I get various objections, and I just want to run one or two of them by you and see, get your responses. Like, for example, some of them will say, well, if the Bible says that this, you know, one world government under the mark with the Antichrist and Mark of the Beast is prophesied, why should we spend our efforts trying to stop it? Shouldn't we just be concentrating on just evangelism? Why should we try to reform a corrupt political system? In addition, the Bible doesn't seem to talk a lot about the importance of political activism.
All right. How would you respond to that?
Well,
David?
First of all, I'd respond to it. It's God's will that none perish but all come to repentance. That's what the Bible says. How many are going to perish? Jesus said, when I come back, am I going to find faith on the face of the earth? Is there going to be anybody? Wide is the gate, wide is the path, and many are going to... So do we just respond that way, too? We know that very few are going to go to heaven. Most people are going to go to hell. Why don't we just sit on the sidelines and do that? We're going to be held stewards. We're going to be held accountable over what God has given us. And part of Jeremiah's message was to warn the people that the Babylonians were coming. If we fail to warn the people, the blood's going to be on our hands. And I guarantee you the Babylonians are not only coming, they're here, and they're going to change everybody's life, and they better get their eyes on Jesus Christ today. So, again, we can sit back and do nothing and make excuses like these people do, but they're going to be held accountable before the one that knows why they're making those excuses.
And I would think, Ari, that the response with so many people is predicated on the fact that they think they're going to be raptured out of here before anything bad happens. And I hope that they're right. But what happens if they're wrong? Is there anything in the Bible that says that we're going to be raptured before America as a nation has been destroyed? What would they feel, or how will they feel if the rapture comes 10 or 20 years after America's fallen and their family's been killed and they've lost everything they have and they're living in a concentration camp? Are men and women responsible for what our government does? I believe they are. When Paul was writing Romans 13, he was talking about an authoritarian system that had been in place for a long time. But God gave us a Christian republic. Here, we were different than any other nation, a nation based upon the concept that freedom came from God. But that can only be preserved if good people are involved. And the idea that, you don't have to do anything, it's all predetermined, everything is in God's hands. I would simply ask them, if everything is in God's hands, do you have life insurance? Do you have fire insurance? Why do you have fire insurance if everything's in God's hands? Why do you have life insurance? Why do you have health insurance? Don't you trust God? Well, of course, well, you'd be foolish not to have insurance to protect yourself and your family and your home. Well, don't you think you have an obligation to be involved in what happens in our society? Do you believe that there is a conspiracy against God and that God's people should speak out against it? And then quote them Jeremiah 11:9 and Ezekiel 22:25. And there's so many things that you can say to people, but do it in a kindly manner and spend more time asking questions. Well, you don't think that we should be involved. What would you do if suddenly the economy of this country were to collapse? What would you do if America was to fall overnight as Babylon did? Babylon fell in one day.
Well, sometimes it seems like people's attitude toward persecution is either, indifferent or kind of like let it come. I mean, basically what we're saying is that, America was great because it was made it, safe to be a Christian, and we can just, if America holds up to its ideals and restores its ideals, it'll be, Christians won't be persecuted and that'll all be great. But then they say, well, what about the Bible? It says that, if you're a Christian, you will be persecuted. And they quote that saying that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And
well, that's fine.
They
well,
have kind of like a fatalistic attitude that maybe this is God's will for us to face persecution.
Well,
what do you
think? We're all still going to be held accountable because it says when we fail to warn them, the blood's on our hands. They may not listen. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. God told them that you're gonna do this, but nobody's gonna listen to you. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to keep sharing the truth. And I know you have a heart to do that. I can tell that. And just keep it up and let the results be made in God's hands.
And I would think the biggest thing, Ari, is that you have told them. You've raised the question, and they have rejected you. They have not rejected you. They've rejected God's message because God tells us to warn these people in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33. We are to be the messenger. But let me tell you an interesting little story. I got a call not within the last week from one of our listeners who said he had the same response that you'd had over and over again. And then one of the people had been talking to had just given up on him, written him off. There was nothing he could say. And this man had heard either on a radio program or from somebody else a validation of what my friend, our listener, had been saying. And he said, "Do you have any videos?" So he gave him my video on 9-1-1 contrived, going into the background historically of what happened on September 11th. And the fellow came back and said, "Do you have any more videos?" So you know, he was encouraged, and we're going to have to get people one at a time. Don't be upset if they reject you, because they're not accepting you. I believe they're rejecting what God has told you to do. That's their problem. That's not ours.
Right.
Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Ari from Redwood City. And I think Ari's question is something that a lot of people ask. I tell people, and they don't want to hear. Or they say, "Oh, well, it's all in God's hands." And of course, the answer to that: well, if it's all in God's hands, do you have any insurance policies? Well, all we're supposed to do is just just win others to Christ. Well, but so many of the churches that are preaching that have changed the message of the Bible, and they changed the very nature of God. And those of you who have never heard Bob Klink speak, you really need to hear him speaking on Saturday as he tells you what's happening in the churches today. One of the greatest problems we have in America today, I think, is the Christian church that has abandoned its calling to be the moral conscience of our society. What would you think about that, David?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. In fact, the fifth lie, and we don't have really a whole lot of time to get into it, but the fifth lie is George Bush, a born-again Christian. Now, I know we're called to pray for this man, pray for all our leaders. God tells us that's our responsibility, and I do, and I will continue to pray for George Bush and the other people in the administration and our leadership. But I really question when a man says the Quran is the inspired word of God, when a man belongs to a dark secret society like the Skull and Bones, many of these things. And then what really concerns me...
You're going to have to hold that because we got Mary in Arizona, and I want to get her on before we run out of time. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I was just preparing Thanksgiving dinner when I heard an announcement on the news that was terrible, and I don't know if you already know this. I immediately thought of you and tuned you in. Sorry.
Okay.
They just said that Al-Qaeda has warned for all Muslims to leave the United States because something so terrible is about to happen that it will affect the entire United States.
I've heard that same thing, and I don't know whether they're trying to scare us to death or whether it's real, but they're trying to scare us to death, Mary. I
really think that it's a good call to prayer, whether it's a lie or not.
Amen to that. Well, right. Of course, that
remember,
is
remember, Mary,
weapon.
God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. And so,
God bless you.
So keep your eyes on.
That's got to be Dave, even though I just turned tuned in. I know his voice real well.
We're out of time, Mary. God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And Dave, I want you to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. We still have a voice, and God's given us the opportunity to reach people. What a privilege it is. So remember what Thanksgiving's all about. It's not about turkey. It's really about remembering that God gave us this wonderful country, and it's up to us, of course, to preserve it.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, and same to you. I hope you and your family and all those minister there at Radio Liberty, that they have a special day tomorrow.
We will. God bless.
God
bless
you.
Okay, fine. This is Dr. Stan. We won't be doing a program tomorrow night till Friday. May the Lord be with you.